Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Sean Fleming, Minister of State at the Department of Finance. Good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for joining us. So you're publishing this legislation today that will reform credit unions, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I just want to ask you, first of all, about those remarks made by your party colleague, Cathal Crowe. He was on Morning Ireland this morning. He says his county, Clare, has exceeded capacity when it comes to housing refugees. Do you agree with him?
I spoke to Cathal Crowe, and the situation is that about 3,000 Ukrainians have arrived in Clare. They're a very high number for the size of the county, and what he wants is the capacity to be able to look after these people properly. He's far assisting the people in Ukraine who've arrived in the county, but he has told me there's some Ukrainians are sleeping in tents in his local towns and villages. That's not proper accommodation. They need proper accommodation, health care and education, and he wants all that capacity provided for the people who have arrived there. And we need the agencies at national level to come down and assist in providing that at local level.
Do you think we're reaching a point now where Cathal Crowe and others are going to say, we need to say, we've done our best, we can't do any more? I mean, he made the point, it's not just about the roof over their heads, it's about the GP services, the schools and so on.
No, we're very clear at government level, and Cathal agrees as well. There is no cap at EU level and there is no cap at national level. So we have not put a cap on the number of Ukrainians that are coming into the country. And we want to make sure that when they do arrive, they can be treated with proper dignity, with accommodation, with health services. And he's crying out for help. To help the people in Ukraine, that's what he's saying. We're at our limits. We're doing our best. We need help to help these people. That's what he's saying.
So what's going to happen?
So the agencies at national level have been asked to visit Clare to look at the particular situation. A lot of people arrived there on the West Coast, some of the hotels, and the name of Clare got to be a very attractive place for people to arrive in, but now they're sleeping in tents, and nobody in Ireland wants people sleeping, women and children sleeping in tents, you know, in the cold December morning or the cold December night. And he's looking for help to help these people.
So is there an imbalance here in terms of the different locations and counties that have taken Ukrainian refugees?
Yeah, there is, and I think we know that. There's a lot in the hood. A lot of the Ukrainians went to places where there was a lot of hotels. On the West Coast, Donegal, Kerry, Clare, there were a lot of hotels that weren't fully occupied after COVID. And yes, a lot went to some of those counties. And now those people are coming there because they've been told some of those counties are a place to go, but they've exceeded their capacity in looking after them properly. They're not saying don't come, but we want help to look after them properly.
So he's when he says that Clare has exceeded its capacity.
Well, he's saying that please help us. We're at a stretching point here, and some counties have higher number of Ukrainians than others. And what we're asking the government to do, I spoke to Cathal Crowe, is for the national agencies to go to Clare and the counties that have the very high numbers of refugees in the or people from Ukraine in their county, because they are the pressure points.
Are you telling us that it's government strategy now to go into somewhere like Clare and say, we've exceeded capacity here, so we're going to move people so that other counties who don't have as many take their fair share?
Claire, I've never suggested any county has exceeded capacity. Nobody is saying that. We're saying we want to provide the capacity in terms of accommodation, health and education for whatever number arrives. There is no cap on the county taking numbers of Ukrainian. There's no cap at national level. But where a lot go to a particular area, those areas need additional help and support where there's a large number of Ukrainian. It's a cry to assist them, give us the help.
Would it not make more sense, though, rather than putting more resources into Clare, to move people to a county where there are fewer Ukrainian refugees?
Well, you know, you're now talking about introducing quotas per county, and the government will not do that. We will not do that. We will not put a limit on the number of Ukrainians that arrive in the EU or into Ireland or in a particular county. But we want to make sure that it's as evenly spread as possible. But if Ukrainians go to a particular location, we have to help them meet all the requirements they have in terms of health, education and accommodation. So we're not talking about, I've never heard anyone weren't saying we should have a quota per county. Yeah. And Cathal Crowe is not saying that.
Yeah, well he's saying they exceeded capacity. I just wonder, would it be better to move those people who are sleeping in tents in Clare to somewhere else?
Well, we would want an urgent solution to that problem. And that's why the national agencies need to help out in the... There will always be some areas with greater pressure points than others, and Clare is one of those now that needs special attention.
Let's come back to your legislation. It came out last week that Irish banks are paying savers interest rates that are four times lower than the Eurozone average. Is there anything in this to address that?
We've introduced credit union legislation this morning to help the credit unions grow their lending and provide greater services because of the changing banking landscape in Ireland. And what we want is more people to come into their credit union, very trusted brand, have more current accounts available by all credit unions around Ireland. A lot of credit unions provide current accounts and debit cards, and some others don't. So we want to improve the range of services through collaboration between the credit unions themselves. It's not been forced on them by the government, but this legislation will help larger and smaller credit unions and some medium-sized credit unions collaborate and work together to provide more services than they're already providing.
Because our reporter Brian O'Connell was looking at this issue of people who save with the credit unions, and some of the credit unions have introduced caps on the amount of money that you can save every month. Does it address that?
I tell you, that was never a government decision. That was a decision by each individual credit union, because over the last year or so, and up to quite recently, when they had large deposits, they were getting negative interest rates when the credit unions themselves put money into their banks. And it's because there was a negative interest rate, they didn't want people to be getting a negative interest rate, and said, we're putting a cap at local level because we don't want you to be getting a negative interest rate. It's not fair to you. Now, the side effect of the increasing interest rates globally is that that problem will not exist now into the future.
Okay.
There will be a benefit to get if you have money, might be small, but in the past, the last 2 years, definitely people were getting a negative interest rate on deposits in the banks as well as in the credit unions. But that is changing because of the interest rate environment.
So what will the bill do? Will it allow credit unions to become more competitive in the mortgage market?
Yeah, what it will allow them to do is, at the moment, some credit unions are doing mortgages, the bigger ones, and they're saying, we don't have the scale to take on the banks themselves, and this legislation will allow 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 or 50 credit unions work together to do all the back office work and risk analysis and everything like that, so they can give a similar mortgage product or a similar current account and debit card offering to a large number of credit unions. At the moment, most of them kind of work on their own one by one, and we want more collaboration between the credit union movement so they can come together and use economies of scale between them, and to be in a position to provide greater services.
Because there's a restriction at the moment on what they're allowed to lend in mortgage and the SME products as well. Combined, they can't exceed 7.5% of their assets. Now, that is a very strict measure, because if you work it out, a credit union that has 90 million euro in assets, they could only lend, under that rule, 27 to 30 average price mortgages. Is that something you're going to change?
Yeah, that's something that will change. And at the moment, the situation is the central bank is allowing the credit union sector lend 1.2 billion in the sector you just mentioned. But the credit union themselves have only taken up about 30% of that. So they have the capacity to do more. And if they collaborate together, they can increase their limits by going back to the central bank, who allows that. And the long-term lending of mortgages is a new thing for the credit union. Most people know credit union for getting a year for a loan, 2 or 3 years for a car or small household items. So this is a big new venture for them that they've been only starting in the last year or two, and they need support through collaboration so they can do more.
Why do they need that support? What are they telling you the problem is?
The cost of the risk analysis, assessing a person's income for the next 25 years for the length of the mortgage. The credit union have never been giving loans of 25 years length ever in the past. That is not what they used to. They're going into a new area, longer term lending with greater financial implications stretching over decades, and the need to have greater systems in place to do that type of work that historically they were not doing, and that they can only do it if they have economies of scale between credit unions working together.
Because they're up against huge financial institutions that have been doing this for many, many years, and they have all of those systems set up. So how does this level the playing field for them?
Okay, where the credit union's real good point, and everybody knows this, is unsecured lending. You can get a loan for 5 or 10 or 20,000 without having to give in the deeds of your house. And a classic example where the credit union can help themselves and all their members in the next decade is in the retrofit loans. People will be getting loans of 10 or 20 or more thousand to do a major retrofit program. It can be done as an unsecured loan. The major banks won't want to know about giving out unsecured loans of that nature, and they won't want to take security on a person's house. So a growth area for the credit union in the years ahead is the entire retrofitting of thousands of houses
around
the country.
So they're going to be giving out bigger loans, and they're going to be taking greater risks. And one of the attractive options about the credit union is just what you said there, they won't be looking for the deeds of your house. But are the credit unions going to have to toughen up on that now?
No, I believe the retrofit loans, they will know the people they're dealing with. It'll be a loan maybe for 5 or 7 years, and they'll be able to manage that. But when they get into the mortgages, which are 20 or 25 year loans or longer, that's a different type of a loan and a risk profile. And they must work together collectively at that basis so they can collectively assess the risk.
They're going to have to start operating like a bank. You know, they're going to have to deal with these problems. If somebody stops repaying that loan, they're going to have to do what the banks do, and they are going to have to toughen up.
And they need better systems in place to start with. And that's what this legislation allows them to come together and have all the back office work, as I would call it, all the assessment behind the scene, the risk analysis and the creditworthiness check and the accessibility of the person's employment into the future. And that can be done by service providers, not by each individual credit union doing its own, but then the credit union, when that work is done at a back office level on a collective, collaborative basis, they then can give out the loans when that work is done.
And they'll also, if it all goes wrong, the credit unions could see themselves involved in repossessions.
And that's why they need to be careful. And that's why even the large credit unions who are doing mortgages at the moment are saying it's too much risk for an individual credit union to take on. We need to work together as a group, whether it's 5, 10 or 40 of them working together to spread the risk and to do a better job on the risk assessment at the beginning. And they need help to do that. Yeah. This legislation will do that.
And they've 20 billion euro on their balance sheets. Does that mean they would be able to offer lower mortgage interest rates? Is that something you'd expect them to do?
Yeah, I would like them to do that. And this is an important point that your listeners won't know. Because they have 16 billion already of their own members' money on deposit with them, changes at the interest rates at European level does not affect the credit union mortgages or loan, because they're loaning out their own members' money. They're not borrowing money to lend money like banks do. They actually have their own money to lend themselves. So if the interest rates go up in mortgages across Europe and Ireland through the banks, that does not affect the credit unions, because they are lending their own members' money in the first place. So that's really a massive advantage they have, and they will be able to give stability of interest rates that the banks can't do at the moment.
Will they have to agree across all of the credit unions an interest rate regime for mortgage, or can they undercut each other?
At the moment, they all do separate things. But what I'm saying, if a group of 5, 10 or 40 collaborate together, it would be the one product that they would individually agree voluntarily amongst themselves to offer the exact same product across the 40 credit unions, for example, or even more credit unions. So it would make sense that it's the exact same product in each of the credit unions, because you don't want different products being offered for loans in each individual credit union. You can get something in one town from one credit union, but the next town has a different product or doesn't have the product at all. To have across the board consistency in products.
On the issue of cash and cash being available in society, the Irish Independent reports today that there are plans to force shops to take cash. Is that happening and why?
Okay, Minister Donoghue launched a banking review yesterday, and the issue of cash came up as a very key point of discussion that needs to be dealt with. And I believe, as part of inclusion, there's some people on lower incomes and social welfare payments operate on a weekly cash budget, and they are finding it difficult where to go into places where you can only put a card. So we have said yesterday that we will be introducing legislation in the coming year requiring banks and retail outlets, and the details aren't worked out yet, to continue to provide a level of cash and the benchmark level that we're asking institutions to keep a cash operation is the figure of cash that's going to be in circulation at the end of this year. So that will be the benchmark going forward. But that legislation will have to be introduced in the coming year so we don't become totally cashless, because some people rely on cash. And it's important they're protected and guaranteed that we'll get that into the future.
So shops and other retail outlets will be obliged to take cash?
Well, what I said, the principle, we're starting with the banks, that they must make cash and cash machines and cash available over the counter. That's the first thing, and through the ATM machines. And secondly, we're looking at the retail sector and other sectors. But the details of that will be in the legislation, which will be in the coming year. That hasn't been finalised yet.
Minister of State at the Department of Finance, Sean Fleming, thank you for joining us on the programme. Coming up next, Evelyn O'Rourke has an update on the shortage of primary school teachers.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.